Welcome to the Spoolcast. Brad Frost joins Jared Spool in a discussion about designing responsive interfaces. Brad will be presenting one of the day-long workshops at the UX Immersion Conference April 7th through 9th in Denver, Colorado. For more information, visit uxim.co. That's uxim.co. And now, here's Jared.
Welcome to another episode of the Spoolcast. I'm so glad you're joining us today, and I'm even happier that we have the amazing Brad Frost with us. Brad is a wonder dude. He's sort of been at the forefront of the responsive design movement lately and has been doing a lot of really cool stuff in terms of resources. And he's teaching a full-day workshop at the UX Mobile Immersion Conference coming up in Denver on April 7th through 9th. He's doing a full-day workshop calling Using Atomic Design to Create Responsive Interfaces. We have Mr. Frost with us right now. Brad, how the hell are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for the kind words. So we talked really, really quickly about Skype and how reliable it is. And sure enough, somewhere in that intro, it cut out. So I got the tail end of it.
There you go. Well, I talked about your childhood and I talked a little bit about that whole incident with the sheep.
Okay. All right.
We covered a lot in the time that it's cut out.
That's a good 7 seconds then.
Yes. One of the things about Skype is it actually changes the space-time continuum.
Okay. All right. That's good to know.
Well, so in addition to not hearing what I say in Skype, let's talk about other things. In particular, everybody I keep running into is talking about something that you did back in 2012. It was a website called This Is Responsive. And it's this really cool resource that you put together to help people create responsive web stuff. Why don't you tell people what it is? And more importantly, what made you put all the work? There's a lot of work into this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing project. And basically, I contribute to it whenever I can and finally got around to allowing other people to submit resources and stuff. But yeah, basically what This Is Responsive is just sort of a resource center for responsive design that includes a lot of categorized links, but then also boiled down interface patterns for creating responsive designs. And what caused me to make it is at the time I was working at an agency called RGA in New York City. And for whatever reason, I had 3 different client teams all in 1 week. They all called me up and they said, Brad, how do you do breadcrumbs in a responsive way? It's just like the most random planets aligning thing where all of a sudden breadcrumbs were on the front of everyone's mind.
Well, it was National Breadcrumb Week.
Yeah, apparently. It's like, all right, we got to get this thing out here.
Seriously. Oh, my God. Next week is National Breadcrumb Week, and our mobile design does not have the proper breadcrumb work.
National Carousel Week aligned with the Mayan calendar ending. Yeah.
I think, in fact, that was the thing, right? So what happened with the Mayan calendar is that they implemented carousels, and that was... That was when they discovered the world was doomed.
Yes, pretty much. But yeah, so these 3 teams, they all get in touch with me, all sort of separate client teams. I'd float around different projects within the agency. So I was sort of in this position where I was seeing these 3 teams struggling with the same thing. And, you know, as the week went on, I said, well, you know, I met with all the teams and, you know, heard them out. And I said, okay, I'll go away. And, you know, I could have explained what to do to each of the 3 teams individually. Or I thought a better use of my time would be to actually just, you know, create some really vanilla sort of grayscale versions of, you know, what these different patterns might be. And so that's what I did. So I went away and I created these little patterns and then showed them to each of the teams. I said, you know, here's one way you could do it. Here's another way you could do it. Here's another way you could do it. And then they said, cool. And then they each, you know, took the path that their respective projects felt like they needed. And I was like, well, that worked. And I was like, well, maybe I could actually do that with other things in the interface. So at that time, I was just starting to get into talking about responsive navigation, you know, and complex navigation and drop downs and all that good stuff. But then even just getting into, different ways to handle layout. At that time, Luke Rablewski wrote a really great post sort of, you know, boiling down a lot of the responsive sites that are out there into these sort of patterns. And so really, I just sort of rolled up my sleeves and started creating this sort of grayscale just pattern library of different interface patterns. The reason why they're grayscale too is, again, just so that people don't get distracted, teams don't get distracted by the content that's inside these, you know, patterns and stuff like that. Like, I've seen this 100 times before. Like whenever the Boston Globe launched, for example, you know, I was working in an agency doing a lot of really visually stunning wowie zowie sort of brand pieces. And whenever the Boston Globe came out, I'm like, hey, yeah, you know, we could do something like this. And they're like, yeah, but we're not a newspaper. And I think that too often people, I'm sure you see it all the time too, you know, it's like,
oh yeah,
that doesn't apply to me because I am in global intranet provider, you know. And it's like, you sort of have to blur your eyes a little bit, you know what I mean, and extract the good bits. And so that's what I was trying to do with the pattern library, is just to create this very neutral hub for, you know, the 100,000 different ways you could slice up an interface and all of the things you could put on an interface. And it's done pretty well. And, you know, as patterns come out, we'll update the library or somebody will submit a pattern. It's all open source on GitHub and all that good stuff. And so it's really great because we have like the whole community now sort of contributing these abstracted patterns for the benefit of all, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I liked it at the top of the responsive patterns page in the This Is Responsive GitHub thing. It has this big black button that says, you know, submit a pattern. So you can just go submit one. And I know exactly what you mean about baggage being drawn on, that when people see something that's done by the Boston Globe, they're, well, we're not a newspaper. I mean, that happens in so many. Last week, I was in a meeting where we were discussing personas, and the personas all had names like Bobby and Jean. And then one of the personas had the name Aurora. We're like, Aurora, that's odd. And it turned out that the person who named all of them had named them after X-Men characters. And so, you know, then all of a sudden we're dealing with one called Logan, and people are like wigging out over Logan because, you know, they're like, oh, Logan has to have chops and he's got, you know, big metal things that come out of his fists, and it's like,
he's got a metal skeleton.
Exactly.
We have to design around his metal skeleton.
Yeah. And I, Jean doesn't need to look stuff up on the web. She can read minds. And so, yeah, people bring baggage with them.
Yeah. Yep.
So what I like about what you've done here, and particularly this idea that you've reduced it down to black and white, I mean, that just makes everything really clear as to what that pattern is. It doesn't clutter it. It's just a very simple design piece. And I think people can come in here and take their team around a machine and say, wait, did you mean it this way or did you mean it that way? How have you seen people using this?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I see people sort of take it out of the box, and that's exactly what not to do.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that, you know, people take what's essentially proof of concept code and proof of concept ideas and just sort of slap it in there without any sort of thought applied to it. And that's what not to do. And I've had people say, oh, this doesn't work in IE8. And I'm like, well, that's not what I'm going for. You know, the idea, and I'm a firm believer of this with all the stuff that I do, a big firm believer about, like, you need to do this stuff yourself. Like, I'm not going to prescribe solutions. It's just about sort of, you know, providing like hints and best practices and resources and stuff like that so that you could do your job better. But yeah, the way that I've seen people use this, and thankfully, you know, my Twitter feed seemingly on a daily basis is, oh, I was struggling so much with, you know, how to handle this really complex navigation with 3 or 4 or 5 levels, you know, deep subnavs and stuff like that. And this collection of patterns really, really helped me out. You know, my team, we were able to discuss it. We were able to sort of take one of these things that we felt was like the best solution and sort of build on that. And that's what we ended up using. Same thing goes with, you know, tabs. You know, how do you deal with sort of horizontal tabs, which are, you know, pretty common interface pattern on larger screen? And then whenever you lose, you know, so much screen real estate, all of a sudden that tab interface, that pattern doesn't scale. It doesn't work anymore. And so, you know, everyone struggles with problems. Everyone struggles with these interface patterns. Everyone's struggling, you know, to wrap their heads around how do we actually make an effective interface that actually simultaneously scales and works really well on small screens, on medium screens, on large screens, on extra large screens, and everything in between. And so it becomes this place to, you know, sort of scratch itches and to, you know, help keep you from beating your head against the desk on how to get from point A to point B. What I've also found, because not everybody is a front-end designer, front-end developer, actually like working in code. There's still a lot of people working in static wireframes, professional PDF makers, and still a lot of, you know, Photoshop comps and stuff going on. And what I've found actually is that having that working example in the This Is Responsive pattern library allows teams that are still creating these static visuals to help articulate and understand how they might get from homepage_mobile.psd to homepage_desktop.psd, right? So they can show in the desktop PSD the tabs, but then whenever you get down to a small mobile screen, they'll show it in sort of more an accordion fashion. And they'll be assured that it's technically feasible, which is great because historically I've been the guy that's fielding all those questions all the time. Hey, Brad, can we do this? Hey, Brad, can we do this?
You're the one we're supposed to be talking to.
Yeah, well, it ends up being like any sort of developer. Hey, developer, grunt back whether or not we can actually do this. Yes or no? Don't give me any more insight. We don't want your opinion. Just say yes or no. Can we do this and get on with our design work? I found that to be a pretty effective way for teams to still work in the process that works for them, but have more confidence that, yeah, like what we're designing, we can actually accomplish realistically, which is really cool.
Now, you've also gone off and done this thing called Pattern Lab. What is that?
So
what the hell is that?
I'm actually really struggling still actually to figure out what Pattern Lab is. So Pattern Lab, in short, is a way, is a tool to help people create atomic design systems.
So one of the things you're talking about at the UX Immersion Mobile Conferences, you're spending a whole day sort of introducing people to this whole idea of atomic design. I love this concept of atomic design. What you've done is you've sort of broken things up into a metaphor that's similar to the way atoms become molecules and molecules become organisms and then organisms become cows and cows then become societies of cows.
Right. And something like that.
Yes, yes. So you've sort of divided the web up that way, right?
I'd say divided interfaces, right, up to these things. Because what I've found is the basic trend for everybody has been, yes, we want to be more systematic in our designs. Yes, we want to sort of break things up into modules. We want to do things, you know, like style tiles and element collages. We want to utilize things that are similar to Bootstrap and Foundation. You know, this whole sort of, everybody's been blowing up these whole interfaces. And again, back to This Is Responsive, that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years, has basically been exploding interfaces and basically solving the problems in an acute way, you know, again, like, how does this work across all these different screen sizes? Does this all fit together without having to worry about, you know, thinking about things at a page level? We're trying to think of things at sort of a deeper level. But one of my biggest frustrations with all of the sort of techniques that are sort of exploding, you know, and breaking things down into modules is that they become just that, this sort of just collection of sort of random modules. And what I found and was increasingly frustrated by is that there's no real good way to categorize these or really any rhyme or reason to sort of why things are sort of put in certain places. And some of the modules would be sort of relatively simple, and other things would be these, you know, big sort of self-contained components and stuff like a carousel or something like that. And so I was like, there has to be, I think, a more deliberate way to break down an interface, but also see it all the way through in its final sort of put together place, in its sort of final resting place. The things that we're actually building are still full web pages. And one of my biggest frustrations with these sort of pattern libraries and UI toolkits and stuff like that is that you never really sort of see it assembled. And I know it's up to you, but at the same time, like, that ability to traverse between really abstract and really sort of broken down and put together in context, they very much rely on each other in order to, you know, create not just the final product, your final project, but also the underlying system that goes into that. So that's sort of what Atomic Design and what Pattern Lab is this way to basically stitch an interface together, starting at the very sort of atomic level, and sort of build up that interface into its final pages and be able to sort of see very deliberately how you've gotten from point A to point B.
So as I understand this, right? So as I understand this, the atoms are like the various tags and primitives that you have at the lowest level of HTML or CSS or JavaScript. And then the molecules are when you combine those things, like you take an input field and a label and you now have, you know, password. And then the organisms, that level of things might be, you know, a login dialog box that has a username with a field and a password in a field. And you're sort of combining these things, right? Do I get this sort of right?
Yeah. I think that, yeah, more or less that's it. So molecules are, you know, a couple tags stitched together. So you might have just, you know, a search form that's comprised of, you know, a search label, an input, and a button. And that is a self-contained little assembly of stuff that does something, right? Atoms by themselves, you know, the tags are all really abstract and sort of floating around in space, and you don't really sort of see inherently just from that, looking at that level, like how these things might be useful. It's like, well, that's nice, but it's sort of helpful at like an at a glance sort of level. But then you start combining them into these like little sort of packages, these little molecules, and now they could actually start doing something. So you might have, you know, your primary navigation as a molecule, your search form as a molecule, and stuff like that. And then you put those molecules together into like a header organism, right? So now your header organism contains your logo atom, it contains your navigation molecule, it contains your search form molecule, and sort of all those things operate at this sort of standalone reusable sort of component. And then from there, then you start stitching these organisms together and finally start building these sort of page level things like templates and then ultimately pages, which, you know, we don't have to get into. But yeah, the idea is that you sort of have like these like little clusters of elements, and then you sort of combine those together into more complex, you know, sort of clusters of stuff. And the whole idea is to basically establish this really sound, really deliberate interface where everything is sort of being built up with the intention of creating a system that's built for reuse, built for scalability. Certainly helps with responsive design because, again, you're able to treat these problems, you know, at the component level rather than at a page level. And also, you know, just from being future friendly, you know, you're sort of establishing these nice rules and guidelines and constraints, and this goes inside of this, which means that the new hire you hire you know, 4 months down the line can understand sort of how things are put together and why things are put together in the way that they are. So I think that in my experience, you know, sort of using this and sort of helping create this, what we're doing now, why we're doing this, is that it's no longer feasible to just sort of throw over a handful of page templates, you know, to a client and just say, here's your site, have a nice day, you know, make sure I get my final paycheck. It's not enough to do that anymore. We have to be a lot more deliberate with this. We have to give them better tools, better resources, so that we don't come back next year and all of a sudden, you know, they've changed the color of green and they've put this thing next to this thing and they've created a bunch of new code, like all on their own and different patterns and stuff. And it all looks like a big giant Frankenstein mess. Well, in part, that's your fault if that happens, simply because you didn't give them the library of components. You didn't give them the building blocks, the Lego bricks, so that if they need to add a new section to the site, if they need to add another sort of widget or organism or component or whatever you want to call it, they have a language to choose from and sort of make informed decisions. And I think that that's really, really cool. In fact, one of the clients that we first did this on, actually the very first client that I introduced this whole sort of atomic design pattern lab concept, was TechCrunch. And I was actually just on their site last night and noticed that they had added a different component to the site. So you read the article and then there was sort of an extra little you might also like sort of thing. Now, we had our own version of that and that's still there, but then they sort of added a separate you might also like these stories. And what I found is that they used the interface patterns that we provided them to construct an entirely new module.
It's a mutation.
Meaning, yeah, exactly, keeping with this theme.
When will they get metal skeletons on their pages and, and you know, mind-reading templates?
Exactly. But I was so thrilled with that because, you know, we provided them the language, the system, and they were able to sort of take that system and extend it, you know, even after we were gone. So it didn't look like garbage, you know, and it's happened so many times in my career where, you know, we hand them over these gorgeous, you know, working templates and here's your pixel perfect PSDs and here's your, you know, totally marked up, you know, web standards templates. And then they take it and then they butcher it and then they continue to butcher it to the point where 6 months later, you don't even want to include it in your portfolio anymore. So that's why it's not enough to just, again, hand over these pages and hope for the best. We need to actually deliver. Even internally, you know, if you work at an organization, you're not just working on your project. What you're working on is something that could potentially be used for years in your organization across different projects. You know, maybe that tab interface pattern that, you know, you've helped devise and build out and sort of, you know, design, maybe that can be used across all of your company's properties. You know, why not? So I think that that's sort of the impetus there, is that that's the motivation for creating these really robust design systems, is to just really help everyone, you know, give everyone a path. And again, it's all totally yours. It's your system. It's all totally custom built for you and your needs, which is great, versus, you know, something like Bootstrap or something like Foundation, which sort of gives you too many of these answers. You know, it's like, oh, here's your buttons and here's what they look like and here's, you know, your accordions and here's what they look like. I'm not saying that they're bad tools, but at the same time, you know, if Nike, Reebok, and Adidas all use Bootstrap, they'd all sort of look pretty similar, right? And in my experience working with really big brands, you know, the last thing they want is to, you know, have the same design system as everyone else, you know?
Right. So Pattern Lab is a tool that you can use to interactively build this stuff, right?
Yeah. So what Pattern Lab is, at its core, it's just a way to stitch together the interface. So it's for, you know, more front-end designers. where basically you can, you know, include your navigation into the header organism, which will be included in the pages and templates and stuff like that. And so it's a tool that basically allows you to stitch it together. It's in code. But again, you know, I work in cross-disciplinary teams. So while I'm typically the one working the most in Pattern Lab, you know, I'm working with visual designers, working in Photoshop, I'm working with, you know, IAs and stuff, creating the initial patterns in the first place. And we're all sort of working together on this. So that's what Pattern Lab is, sort of like a front end development tool to actually create these design systems. And then the idea is that once you actually create these things and you have everything sort of stitched together, ultimately that becomes a deliverable, right? It's like, here's your final product. And oh, by the way, you know, here's the underlying system that's gone into that. And so that helps with things like integration into a CMS, just because they're able to sort of cherry pick all the patterns that they need and stuff like that. It helps for their management to understand sort of everything that went in there. It helps everyone involved in the team sort of have a better idea of sort of what all went into this and why things are arranged the way that they're arranged.
So inevitably what you've done here is you've created, you know, this whole collection of resources that people can use to create great responsive websites. And it's really exciting. Folks are using this stuff and they're getting a lot out of it.
It's pretty insane, actually. And I'm not like a hardcore programmer guy, and I'm just sort of getting my feet wet with the whole GitHub open source sort of stuff in general. But yeah, I mean, the activity on both Pattern Lab and This Is Responsive has just been really wild. I mean, there's like hundreds of people that are all writing comments and stuff on this. They're saying, you know, we have these issues or we fix this and stuff. So it's just been fantastic, because the great thing about it, especially with Atomic Design, is I've not had one person say, that's a stupid, stupid idea. We shouldn't be thinking of our interfaces in this way. So it's been really, really promising. And as I do more client work, I'm doing a project now. I'm doing actually several projects now. It's becoming like a really natural way to do things. I think that we're being more deliberate in our thinking. We're being more thoughtful. We're trying to be, you know, more future friendly in our actual process as we go through this. What we're trying to do is not just make a website that looks great and solves the needs of our clients like today, but we're really trying to help them out long term and make sure that the best practices that we've established don't go south as time goes by. So it's been really fantastic seeing everybody use these resources. And that's why I love doing this stuff so much and talking about it, is because, you know, I work on my own projects. I'm an all right designer, but it's really fascinating watching actual real good designers take these concepts and really make just really amazing things with them. So I couldn't be happier. It's not really about the work that I'm doing, but rather about, you know, what that's, you know, facilitating others to do. So it's really cool.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I want to thank you for introducing us to these cool resources. And I'm really excited that you're going to be talking about all this at the UX Immersion Conference in Denver. So thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really looking forward to it, for sure. A whole day of this.
A whole day, an entire day. So for those of you who are loving this stuff, you can get more of this loving from Brad Frost at the UX Mobile Immersion Conference in Denver. He's going to be speaking a full-day workshop on Monday, April 7th. It's called Using Atomic Design to Create Responsive Interfaces. You can find out all about it at uxim.co. Brad, I'm excited to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Well, thank you again, and I want to thank our audience for listening, and as always, thank you for encouraging our behavior. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
For more information about the UX Immersion Mobile Conference in Denver, Colorado, April 7th through 9th, visit uxim.co. That's uxim.co. As always, thank you for listening.